Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show where we talk about what happened last week on a geekly basis. As always, I am your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by the leanest, the meanest, the coolest, definitely not the foolest co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hello, everyone. It is I, Stephanie. I just was going to introduce myself with my Twitter name, which is Captain Steph, if you're curious. And if you're curious about my Tumblr name, it's The Snow Queer. We are back again with the latest and some not so greatest of the last week in geeky news. So
it's been a weird week.
Yeah, it's we were scraping the barrel a little bit this week, at least on my end. But I think we've got some good content for you today. Do you want to start it out, Dom?
Yeah. It's interesting. We have some like real big things and then a lot of little things. So we'll just jump right into it. Actually, before we jump into it, I want to ask, you know, how was your weekend, Steph?
It was a fun weekend. It was busy. A friend of mine from high school was visiting, so we ate some delicious food, went and saw Wicked, did some sightseeing and touristing kind of stuff. So it was busy, but I had a lot of fun.
Very cool, very cool. And I had a nice weekend, actually. Saw a friend, it was pretty good, ate some food. And then for the next 2 days, I tried my hand at streaming video games, which is a lot more tiring than I had predicted. But I wasn't just doing it to play around. I was actually participating in the Spawn for Good charity event. We had an episode a while back with Cleef Adams from Spawn on Me on the character reveal portion of this show. And he's part of a podcast, you know, Spawn on Me, and they do a charity event every Martin Luther King Day weekend. They call it Spawn for Good, and this year we were streaming to benefit One Simple Wish, which is a nonprofit that helps out foster kids and that sort of thing. So basically, we played video games, streamed them, and directed people towards a donation website where they could grant wishes for foster kids, such as like high chairs and shoes and Nerf toys and stuff like that, or you could donate, which it turned out to be pretty successful. As of recording, they're still getting some numbers in, but we'll definitely share that on the Twitter when it comes out.
Very cool.
Yes. A lot more, it was more exhausting than I thought. I played a lot of Overwatch, some Crypt of the Necrodancer at first, and it's actually nice to play Overwatch on stream because you don't get as mad because you know people are watching you, so you try to keep it inside, you know, you handle the tilting and you keep it to yourself.
Conceal, don't feel.
I still felt, but there was a little bit more concealing than normal. Also this weekend, actually this was a really good weekend for gamers giving positivity to the world.
I was going
to
say, it was been kind of a charity weekend for the video gaming community, right?
Yes, because the annual Awesome Games Done Quick event, AGDQ, happened this weekend, and for those who don't know, Awesome Games Done Quick is an event where a lot of speedrunners come together. So basically people who can play games the whole game as fast as they can with different parameters. Sometimes they want to hit 100%, sometimes they want to just clear it as fast as possible. You know, for instance, Mario 64, a lot of people know that game. You could try to get all 120 stars. That's one way to complete it. Or one is use as little as possible to just get to the last Bowser fight and win. Sometimes you use glitches, sometimes you don't. Depends on what the parameters are. And basically, people watch it and they send in donations. Sometimes people would do blindfolded speed runs. Sometimes they'll do races or relay races. Oh, yeah, there's this real famous one where a guy beats... I'm going to get these stats wrong. I'm not going to look them up, but you all should. They beat Ocarina of Time for the Nintendo 64 blindfolded. And I want to say like 18 minutes or something ridiculous like that.
Jesus.
So definitely utilizing some glitches and some sequence breaking, but essentially beating the last boss with the bare minimum weapons and all that kind of thing. It's really impressive to see people really tear these games apart. And then they played Undertale as their finale game, the True Pacifist Run. And there's even game-breaking kind of stuff in there. And overall, the event raised a little bit over $2.2 million.
I believe
that is no small sum. And I believe it's for cancer research, but don't quote me on that. But yeah, so it was a nice event. I saw a little bit of the speedruns. You see some amazing things.
I can only imagine.
And it's all on video on demand, so you can go back and watch it if you're curious about those kind of things. It's a really interesting community. Like with any gaming community, there is some toxicity, but the overwhelming majority are people that are trying to get rid of that, and really supportive people, you know. People are actually really supportive when their world record gets broken because they really just have a love for the art form. So check it out if you get a chance.
Cool.
Speedruns are awesome.
Very cool.
Yes. So I'm talking a lot, but
I'm gonna
it's been
say
a
this
long
is
week.
like the Dom half of the news section.
Yeah, so it's been a long week and we're both exhausted, so we're trying to get through it quickly and not waste you all's times either. But here's the sections, the two parts where we're probably gonna lose time. So the Nintendo Switch, the new Nintendo console that's coming out, it's been announced.
Is it a handheld thing?
It's
Kind of.
haha, it's both. Yes,
Oh.
Nintendo can't just do a regular thing since the GameCube. So on the one hand, it's a regular console, like it has a box that's about the size of like a Wii U or a Wii,
Okay.
and you hold
Oh,
like,
hence the Switch, the name. Is that.
there you go.
Hey, I'm putting two and two together tonight.
So it has a gamepad, kind of like how the Wii U had. So there's probably gonna be some stuff that uses both screens, but say you're playing the new Zelda game, you're like, man, this is really fun, but I don't know, go to the bathroom or take a train somewhere or go to my friend's party on the other rooftop, as it showed in their first reveal trailer. You put the little controllers on the little thing, you take the screen out, and now you have a nice high definition screen that you can take with you that has, I guess, anywhere between 2 and 6 hours of battery life, depending on which game you're playing, maybe more or
Okay.
less. But it looks like a pretty cool idea if they just try to keep it simple. There's still some motion control in the little Joy-Cons. The Joy-Con? Joy controllers,
Joy.
joystick controllers, they just call them a Joy-Con.
Okay.
But there's one on each side of the thing that it can either be like an 8-button setup or 2 4-button setups if you want to play with your friend. And they announced lots of games for it. Well, not lots, I guess, since it's still new, but about like over 10 games were announced, which is good.
Gonna say, is that a lot for a new release? I heard some talking about like it's still being kind of slim.
Yeah, so the launch titles aren't as many as you'd want for a launch game. Which has been a problem for both PlayStation, and Nintendo. The issue is Nintendo kind of lives and dies by their first party, so the stuff that Nintendo makes, your Marios, your Zeldas, whereas Xbox and PlayStation have much more third-party support, so like your Activisions, your Bethesdas. So if, say you're a Microsoft fan and there's not a Halo coming out for a little bit, or some of the other franchises, there's going to be like an Assassin's Creed or like a Madden to hold you over, or Call of Duty. Same with PlayStation. Between your Nathan Drake Adventures and your Last of Us, you could still get some other stuff like your Grand Theft Autos. But on Nintendo, if there's not a Mario game or a Splatoon game, you're kind of just waiting around with your hands in your pockets, like, hope EA makes a game. Which, apparently, for the Switch, the third party support is back. So, like, Skyrim is coming out. There's supposed to be like a FIFA game, so
Oh, interesting.
it won't be so dry. Sega's still kind of giving Nintendo a lot of the benefit of the doubt and still putting their good Sonic games on there too. Well, as good as any Sonic game will be. The 2017 Sonic game looks really good, pretty unanimously, because fans made it. Like, fans were officially paid to make it, so it should actually be good. But yeah, you have a new Mario game like Super Mario Odyssey. He goes to different worlds. He's like in a real human world, which is, Mario has different proportions than humans. It's kind of funky looking.
Weird, interesting.
But he also goes to like a desert, an ice level, all that kind of stuff. So, and then Bowser kidnaps Peach again, but this time he intends on marrying her and keeps putting up posters of it to taunt Mario. And that seems odd. Like,
Yeah, just a little bit.
like women as a trophy trope aside, because that's been a staple of the franchise and it's been problematic the whole time. This seems like a particularly different level for Bowser, and
Like level of petty, like extra pettiness, like or
like it just seems weird because like normally he captures Peach almost like as a, one could read it as a political move, like, hey, she's the ruler of the Mushroom Kingdom, I will cripple their army because they have no general anymore. But or like, hey, she has an airship that I need to go into space, or I want to use her castle for a kart race and Mario won't let me, I don't know. But it like Well, and even in Super Mario Sunshine, Baby Bowser or Bowser Jr. kidnapped her because he's like, that's my mom. And Bowser's like, I kind of been lying to you this whole time. And I didn't really orchestrate this plot. That was my son that did that because I've been lying to him. My bad. But this one where he wants to marry Peach, it just seems like, is that his end game or is it really just like, hey, I'm just trying to screw with Mario again? Because he gets like a white pimp suit. It's real weird. It's bizarre. But We'll see. That looks all right. As a game, the new Zelda game, Breath of the Wild, open world. People are excited. It's the first time I've seen a Zelda game. Like, I'll probably pick that up.
Zelda's got a new, like, she's got kind of like an adventurer outfit, doesn't she?
Yeah, it's not like a traditional princess one. It's a little bit more, kind of how Tetra was in the Wind Waker. It's a little bit more adventure ready. So that seems, but also at the same time, they kind of made her more like waifu-ish in the video, like the anime run with the hands pointed out to the side, like,
Oh, yeah.
and it's voice acted, and I don't know. So there seems to be like some weird sexist stuff going on at play. Not going to excuse that, but I'm going to say they can't go any lower than they did in Hyrule Warriors with their Sia character, which is I've officially like dubbed as the worst character of all time in a Nintendo game, and I stick by that. Because it was both sexist and racist and just awful. So I don't know if this is going to be worse, but as a game, it looks pretty all right. And Link looks his typical cute blonde self. And Zelda's dad's around, because why not?
Why not?
What else? What else? There's a Fire Emblem Warriors game, which is essentially like a Dynasty Warriors game. How they had like Hyrule Warriors before, so now they're gonna have like Fire Emblem. So your Marths, your Roys, your Robins. They're gonna be like in a destroy like tons of bad guys in an arena type of fight, and that actually seems fun. That might be the first Fire Emblem game I get.
Cool.
What else? And saving my personal excitement for last,
I
of
was gonna
course,
say, there's
Splatoon
gotta
2.
be. We
There's
can't
some
go off
damn
without
Inklings.
saying the Inklings.
No, they're there. Yeah, also, there's another Mario Kart 8 coming out where they fixed the battle mode and apparently all the DLCs in it from the last one. So you have like Link and some Animal Crossing people, but also the Squid Kids.
Oh,
So
yeah.
you get like a boy one and a girl one, and they each can have their color changed, kind of like how Yoshi's and Shy Guys do. So you can be a black Inkling in Mario Kart. So the only brown characters in Mario Kart are still the Inklings because they're representing hardcore. I'm happy about that. But yes, Splatoon 2. They said it's going to be a whole new game, not just Splatoon 1 with more weapons. Nobody believes that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how what's the difference that like what mechanical difference would you make to make a Splatoon 2 like the sequel?
Well,
Like,
one of the
'cause
weapons.
there's not really a plot to Splatoon 1.
There was like a vague plot. Like, I don't know how they're going to follow it up. There's like a mysterious shot of like Marie from the back. She kind of looks upset. Like mysterious, so maybe her or yeah, maybe Callie and Marie have like a falling out. The Octolings are back, so they might be trying to exact more revenge. Basically, well,
No,
the
she's.
Inkling, no, it's the Inkling race, I think, is they're portrayed as the good guys, but they don't really seem like sympathetic heroes, you know? Like, they essentially take all the power, and the octopus race can't have any
Oh,
because they're
weird.
bad for some reason. But they just come off as more desperate for power, like not strength, but like, hey, we need lights to keep our machines on because we live underground because you kicked us underground in the Great Turf War. So they don't seem like sympathetic heroes, and they're like lazy too. So it's like the reason the squids lost the first Turf War is because they wouldn't wake up before noon, and the Octolings just struck at night, which
Wow.
continues throughout the plot. Like all the missions,
That's
they
heavy.
show up. It's weird. But it's played off as like this jokey plot. So maybe there will be a plot, but. One of the weapons gives you a dodge roll now, which is, I guess, a step up in mechanics. They changed the way the roller throws, so instead of like a big horizontal arc, it's not like a vertical looking arc, which makes it like a billion times less cheap. Like you have to aim with it now, so
I was gonna say, does that make it better or worse as a roller?
it depends on who you ask. If you ask a roller main, it's a lot worse now. If you ask everybody else, that's a much better. It's much more fair now. You can't just like hit the button and hope you hit somebody now. They actually have to have relatively decent aim. And they took some of the mechanics from the story mode, like the little wires you can traverse, and put those into the multiplayer mode. So not anything new, but kind of like a this is our second rodeo. Like a Splatoon 1.7, which is worth. I'd say it's worth buying, you know, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. I've not seen it or played it, but the gameplay looked alright, so
Nice.
doesn't seem like a waste.
Yeah.
And I don't know, speaking of things that are totally right up my alley, and we're not gonna make that a double entendre, we'll leave it a single one. Pornhub, how about that? You know anything about Pornhub stuff?
I'm aware of it. I seek my entertainment elsewhere, but
I mean, me
but I
as well,
know it's
actually.
there.
It's never been my site of choice or even like a site that I frequent, but one thing that I do love about Pornhub is their is everything about their website that's not the pornography. In the
Uh-huh.
sense that they do great things on April Fool's Day. They have amazing statistics. There was a trailer that leaked once for Fallout 4, a video game,
Uh-huh.
and it got taken down. And someone's like, let's just host it on Pornhub because YouTube doesn't have any power there, and neither does like Fallout's creator. And Pornhub was like, that's fine by us. That's cool. So people were going through Pornhub, a porn website, to watch a non-porn trailer because it's the only place they could find it.
That's
And then I think,
amazing.
yeah, and when that game came out, like every time there's a big game release, or at least a couple times, they point out like, hey, just so everybody knows, our viewership has been down today. Not going to say we know who our audience is, but you know, the statistics say Fallout 4 came out today, our site has been pretty dry. But apparently at the end of each year they kind of release a statistics of the top 10 searches like per big country and a whole bunch of analytics. And as a industrial engineer and someone who does statistics for a living, I'm absolutely fascinated at this porn website being so public and open with their fantastic Insight program. But to relate it back to nerdy stuff, Overwatch is a huge result on Pornhub. It's, I guess, like
Is
their.
anyone really shocked?
I wouldn't think to go to an actual porn website.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing that surprises me about that is like if I was going to look for Overwatch porn, I mean, and then again, as a, like as the person I am, I'm not looking for visual porn as much as like reading porn if I'm looking for porn, but I wouldn't think to go to a website that I associate with real human beings performing porn for
Well,
Overwatch porn.
I guess some people don't have like a lot of creativity or don't want to go to Tumblr or like
Critical thinking about their not safe for work stuff.
or even like rule34.com, but
Yeah.
apparently there's the Source Filmmaker, right, which is lets you take models from games and just kind of pose them into 3D. Like you can make animations with the Source Filmmaker. So a lot of times people will use it to just like have Gordon Freeman. Is it Gordon Freeman from Half-Life 2? I should
Yes,
know
I
this.
think so.
Yeah, so they'll have him like just dancing around or like fighting Mario or something, like just sticking around with the models, you know. And people have always kind of made porn with it, but it's never been like that fantastic because it's you'd have to have like that ability with Photoshop or something, and most people just wouldn't. But you know, Blizzard character Overwatch characters are already like some of them have pretty defined butts in their suits or like that kind of thing. Like both the male and the female characters, and the robots just have robot butts. But on May 5th, they had an 817% increase in the searches, and that's around when it was coming out. Or so, yeah, April 5th, around when the game came out. So there's all these searches. It's a ridiculous amount. They have like, they somehow have the type of gamers that are searching for Overwatch porn on their site somehow.
I think that they did something with like Google, yeah, like affinities. Like it doesn't show you exactly what websites other people have been visiting, but what kind of websites they've been visiting. So they like cross-referenced like these people went to Pornhub, but the only other websites they went to were like name three gaming websites.
Game FAQs, NeoGAF, and the
and
Gymquisition, Kotaku, Polygon.
I was gonna say the Blizzard forums, like.
Yes. The interesting thing about it is you have like casual and social gamers and like adventure and strategy gamers far above like sports game fans. Sports game fans were the bottom. Like they were not here for Tracer, D.Va, and Genji. Like they did not want to see it for whatever reason. Yeah, and then the top 10 countries searching for Overwatch porn, United States isn't even in there. I don't
That's
know
what
where we
surprised
rank
me.
at, but Russia's number 3. Russia's top, I believe, if I saw a chart, Russia's number one search this year was Overwatch, which is wildly interesting to me. But
Yeah,
you know,
that's
the world's an interesting place. I don't know how else to put it. I just find that interesting that it has made that much of an impact on the greater social conscience, including our sexual habits, because everybody has a favorite. Even Bastion had some searches, so you know,
that's the most
equal
ridiculous
opportunity.
to me.
Well, the top guy search, if I recall, was Lucio. So, I mean, I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have. He's not. I mean, like, Hanzo's got, like, the weird, sexy titty out. Like, Lucio's just, like, a regular dude in a regular kind of outfit, except for his big, weird pants.
Well, he's black, and porn habits tend to be quite racist, so.
Fair enough.
But also, I think he's the only person. He's one of the people that people will see, like, in a sexual way, because he's not so comically serious all the time. Like, people want to imagine, like, people want to envision Hanzo having sex, but I don't know if people ever would imagine Hanzo having sex, you know what I mean?
It's not like something that you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna look at this guy that I've, who only ever says like menacing things about like his disgrace and his honor and.
Yeah. Like, maybe McCree. I could, people probably see McCree, but like, soldier's old, Reaper's a zombie, you know?
Yeah. Someone commented we my post about Zarya that I on Lady Geek Girl last weekend. One of the tweets that I had written like to post it on Twitter was like, which Overwatch character do you think they'll reveal to be queer next? Someone was like, definitely Reaps. And I was like, of all of them? Really?
I mean, you know, because that's, I don't know. There's no reason to say that would or wouldn't be true. Because you would say maybe Blizzard wants to troll us, and it would be someone you wouldn't expect. Like, not that it'd be a game, but just like of the characters they have picked so far.
Like,
I don't think Reaper's the one that people are like, it's definitely going to be him, you know?
yeah.
Like, people were even shocked, like, not shocked, but like, kind of like, oh, I guess you could, okay, I guess Tracer, yeah, sure, why not? So I don't know. Lucio might be next. I think there's like a short coming up with him soon, so who doesn't
Buckle.
love a rock star?
Buckle up.
Buckle up, friends. It's gonna get bumpy. I don't have a joke with that. I just got lazy. But yes, that's all of our video game stuff, so hope you stuck through the segment because we're about to go into like a whole bunch of not video games for a while.
Yeah, all stuff that I'm going to talk about because I don't think Dom knows much about any of it.
I know many things, but maybe not.
Maybe not so much about the stuff that I'm going to talk about in a minute.
I have time to research. Anyway, well, we'll see how that goes after the break. So you're hearing some music. We hope you love it, and we'll see you all in a minute. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I hope you liked the music in that break. Per the usual, the information for that music will be in the show notes. Go support people, go check it out, go download it if it's free, put it on your music device, all that kind of stuff. So we're gonna get back
You
into
could
some,
even download it if it's not free and pay the artist for their awesome tunes.
Yes, you know what? Let's be transparent. I don't have the music picked out yet, so it might not be a free song. I was trying to cover my ass there and not act like I didn't know what the song was, but yes, listeners, you're seeing behind the curtain.
I
You're
was just
somehow
trying to
seeing.
support someone. I don't know.
They're seeing behind the audio curtain. Somehow they're seeing into an MP3 file. But yes, so speaking of art and artists, we're going to get into some more geeky stuff. So, Steph, this is pretty much all you. I'm just going to add peanut gallery commentary. So, kick Voltron Season 2. Tell me
Yeah.
about it.
Okay, well, Voltron Season 2 premieres on Netflix this Friday. That'll be the 20th for anyone keeping track at home. So if you're wondering what you're going to watch that isn't the inauguration, tune your televisions to like the Food Network or something so the ratings all go to that, and put it on mute and pull up Netflix for Voltron Season 2. I don't know if we ever. We didn't have this show when the first season of Ultron came out because that was in July.
Yeah, I wouldn't have watched it anyway.
Yeah, but it's a show. It's a cartoon. It's animated by the same studio that did the Legend of Korra animation, Studio Mir, I think. You can really tell with the character designs, like it's very that their animation style is very recognizable. It's one of those shows that. It's so close to being a good show for me. Like, there are certain characters that I'm like attached to and interested in their story arcs, and then there are like three or four characters who are just kind of like a flat trope of an action cartoon character still. that I'm hoping will be expanded on a little in this season. One of the things that's been kind of weird for the fandom is that we don't know any of the characters' ages. So, like, Shiro kind of ends up being the dad character, but we're not sure. He has, like, a white, like, shock in his hair, but no one's sure if that's, like, because he's old or because he's, like, just, he was tortured for a while. Maybe it's just from, like, trauma. Maybe he has white forelock, like, a thing that people get. Like, no one's quite sure how old Pidge is, because she's, like... She could be anywhere between, like, 11 and 15.
That seems a little bit way too vague.
Yeah, like, she's a... Because she's, like, way smarter than she would be for her age and for any of those ages. And she's a girl who is, not physically developed enough that she passed for a boy for, like, the first, like, 5 episodes of the series. So, it's unclear. And part of the... Part of the reason I'd like to have more characterization and, like, depth to the characters in this season is because I want to be part of this fandom. Like, I want to engage myself in this fandom, and a lot of the ships that, shipping is part of that, and the ships that have come out of it, I have to, to some extent connect with the connection of the characters in order to... like, to ship something, and the two pairings that have come out of Voltron fandom pretty hardcore are just, I don't believe it, it feels like, very, like, standard picking two guys and deciding to ship them, like, fandoming.
Oh, so it's just that there's two dudes, yeah, they're pretty hot, so people ship them, huh, imagine that.
Yes. Shut up. In this, in fairness, in Overwatch, there's not really the potential in the game for them to have more of a character than what backstory they have. Like, this show could have tried.
Oh, I wasn't criticizing Overwatch. I like all the ships in Overwatch.
I thought you were being snarky at me about Mikanzo.
No, I also ship Mikanzo. It's fantastic. They're both hot men. I was just talking about fandom as in general.
I thought I was being subtweeted there for a second.
No. There's only one bad ship in Overwatch. There's only two bad ships in Overwatch.
I know which ones they are for you.
Yeah, that'd be Mercy and Genji. Don't ship it.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Widow Tracer and Soldier Reaper.
Soldier Reaper is bad, but Widow Tracer is not canon. So again. Take that, everyone. Y'all were wrong, and I'm going to keep saying y'all were wrong. And our lovely British friend has a girlfriend that's not purple. So take that. Remember that. And also don't ship enemies. It's terrible. It's gross. But yes, Voltron.
But yeah, anyway, Voltron. Twice this happened in the Voltron fandom. The two characters who are kind of rival characters, but not, like, with enough particular passion about being rivals that I could get behind them being, like, a rival ship, and then this one of those guys again with the dad kind of guy, like, who I think can't be older than his, like, early 20s, but who knows. Like, so it's an adventure. I watched the first season in like over a weekend, and I'm usually bad at binging stuff, but these are half hour episodes, so it'll probably be a nice diversion from all of the marches and not other kind of thing I'm going to be doing this weekend. So
yeah, there's a lot of stress coming up. Watch some Voltron, watch some giant robots.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I might have to watch giant robots to get I might have to watch Voltron to get ready for Pacific Rim.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun. For some reason, like, things have been coming out lately that make it sound like some of the casting was just announced, like John Boyega was just announced, and I was like...
We knew that.
This has been a known fact for months, like...
Like, not even a leak, it was just a fact.
Yeah. Like, he's the one who produced it, like, he was like, I need to have a second movie, so I'm gonna create a production company to produce this movie, because I want to have Pacific Rim 2.
Wait, did they just confirm that he's just Idris Elba's son? I feel like that was what it was, is we suspected that, but now they just confirmed it, like it was news.
Oh, I don't know about that. I do know, though, then this was leaked, so I've not, by the time I saw the news, the picture had been, like, DMCA takedown. but the news site was still up. But someone apparently posted a picture of like the cast list for a scene or something, and it looks like actually some of the cast from the original movie will be coming back. Mako Mori, like Rinko Kikuchi as Mako.
Oh, I saw that. I thought it was just news.
Charlie Day is as Newt, and Bern Gorman as Herman, which will be nice because I was really bummed about the idea of having a Pacific Rim movie without those characters in it.
Charlie Day is going to keep doing these as long as possible so he can keep proving to the world that he's a genius because he plays a really not-so-smart guy in Always Sunny. He's not doing it for the money because that's still making a ton of money. It has to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't even know that he's at least doing it to prove the world he can play an eccentric genius because his character in Pacific Rim is not just like a standard, like, Poindexter genius.
Yeah, I think he wants to make a point that he can actually act because, yeah. I feel like you could watch Charlie's character in Always Sunny and assume that Charlie Day can't act that well.
Just assume that that's just Charlie Day being Charlie Day.
Yeah, or just like, well, I hope not.
I hope not, yeah.
But just, yeah, you could assume that, I don't know, the show seems casual enough that you could assume that people aren't really acting, they're just kind of phoning it in.
Reading
in
a good lines. Way.
Yeah, but it just happens to be that they're funny people, like Danny DeVito, but they very much are acting, and it's... That's a weird show. I love it.
Yeah.
Some news, though, while we're talking about Pacific Rim, kind of. I didn't even post it because I didn't put a lot of thought into it. They just keep announcing more and more actors for Black Panther.
Yeah, like, for real.
This movie is going to be, like, the blackest movie. And they're calling for extras, I think, in Atlanta soon. So that's going to be kind of cool.
Yeah, have there been any more confirmed casting announcement? Like, when are they going to be filming this movie? Like,
I'm not sure that they're not already. Like, the way that Marvel has their process set, like, the stuff with Chadwick in it could already be done.
True.
And they're filming, like, incidental stuff, or, like, when, like, baby T'Challa, they could be doing as part of his backstory.
Let's get Felicia Rashad in here for a scene. Like
why not? Just get, like, every black actor who has at least been kind of prominent in the last 10 years gets a cameo. Like, and I like the idea that there's going to be two white people in Black Panther.
The token white people?
Just two, I think. You have to have Bucky in there somewhere, just like being as utilized as he was in Civil War, which is to say mostly just running around.
I was going to say just being like a plot piece.
Like, the dude is from World War II America and then got frozen, so you think he had culture shock coming back into our time, like, and he's been brainwashed for part of it, so imagine you just drop him in Africa somewhere, he's like, I'm surrounded by black people who are possibly speaking a language I don't speak, and there's technology that I can't possibly understand. Yep, this is great.
Do you think it's gonna be, oh, true, Stanley, I was wondering who the second person was gonna be.
Stanley better be in that movie, like, just as like a, I don't know. Like, I'm really far from home.
I'm wondering, with the expanse of the cast being, like, not including any of the rest of the Marvel lineup, if it's going to be a prequel that actually tells, like, the Black Panther backstory, or whether it's going to continue the Marvel Universe story.
You know, I hope they give us some backstory, because
I feel like I'd rather have the backstory than the continuation, if that makes sense.
Well, I don't know how established the Dora Milaje are, so I don't know how much they'd have to build that up because they're there. I don't know. Yeah, I think some backstory is needed because Black Panther, it's apparently a mantle. And it's apparently just like a suit.
Yeah, it's something that's passed down through their royal line.
Yes, however, he was keeping up with Bucky and Cap, who were running as fast as cars, who have super serum in them. Now, I hope Black Panther's superpower isn't just being black, but if it's just suit, what's in that suit that makes him run so fast? I need to know.
There's some kind of spiritual power that comes with the Black Panther mantle.
That counts. That's fine. That's good enough for me.
There's your minimal backstory.
That's all I need. Okay, and then he has like unobtainium and adamantium in his claws. That's perfect. Okay, yep. Cool. That's good enough for me. Moving on.
Yeah. So to segue back to Voltron and. In order to have a segue to our next topic, in other shows whose seasons people hoped were not going to be there, whose sequel seasons people hoped would not be disappointing, and appear to have been comically so. Every publication that I have seen reviewing Sherlock season 4 has been like dragging it through the mud, and it brings me great, great joy.
Seems like a strange turn of events.
Yeah, so the there's a tiny, I don't even know, tiny is probably not even the right word, but there's a contingent of Sherlock fans who have been certain since the beginning that there was some kind of conspiracy and that John and Sherlock were going to end up together at the end of the season, or at the end of the series. And everything was, all of the queer baiting was just laying the foundation. And apparently not only was this final episode, which will probably be the final episode of the series as opposed to just, like, the end of the season, was not just bad and not just ridiculous, but, like, terribly ridiculous. And, like, went so far, I saw a picture, a screenshot of the philosopher John Locke, like, crying. Like, John Locke being the name of the ship of John and Sherlock. The screen cap from the show, there is a scene in which a portrait of John Locke is crying, like, tears of blood. Like, if that's not, like, the most pathetic and pedantic dig at your own fan base.
That's, I'm not gonna lie, that's though. Like, as rude as it is to, like, the queer fandom, that is, like, a really top-level troll.
And like, I do, yeah, have to, like, give them, petty, like, levels, or, like...
Like, I gotta give you a little bit of credit for doing that, because... That's junky, but that's kind of funny. Like,
yeah, it's just like, it's so petty. It's like, these are your fans. Like, these people are the only people who care about your show anymore. Like,
yeah, but now it's done, so.
Yeah, it's like, thanks
between, for the memories.
Between that and, like, Supernatural getting renewed again, like, who do you think's watching this show anymore? Like,
I know people that watch Supernatural.
And I think that's the thing. I think the people who are still watching Supernatural are not the diehard fans. They're the people who have just been watching it, like, casually. And don't consider themselves part of, like, quote unquote fandom.
You know, that's a hard thing to get used to, Steph. It happens a lot to gamers. I think people that would consider themselves part of fandoms and not just fans of shows,
mm-hmm.
we kind of have that problem because, like, you know how we often have discourse TM about, like, Harry Potter and how, like, it doesn't make sense even if you take all the racism out of it that there's only, like, what, 13 schools in the world?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any political sense or, like, logical sense. What's
just like
you need
the,
a lot more
capacity
magic
of like looking at the population of the U.S. If the same percentage of the population of the U.S. was magical as in Britain, you would need like 9 schools.
Yeah, so that bothers people that are like in the discourse and in the fandom, and then like then you start looking at the things that I talked about today with a friend. Like, yo, why did the wizards not stop, like, either the World Wars, or 9/11, or the Holocaust, or slavery, or the Trail of Tears, or, like, literally anything bad that ever happened that they weren't, like, simultaneously dealing with something at the same time? Oh, they just didn't care? Terrific. They don't have the moral upper hand anymore.
I was gonna say,
that's a huge problem.
There are posts about that on ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com if you're interested, dear listeners.
Go check that out. And but I think the casual fan is just not going to think about, like, yeah, it's a story about, like, some kid that goes to wizard school. I don't care.
Yeah, they're like, what's my Ilvermorny house? Like,
so stuff like that. And, you know, the casual fan doesn't know that there's a lot of good Sonic games. They never played the handheld ones, for instance. Yep.
Oh, Lord.
Well, you know, speaking of other not-so-great news.
Yeah,
I don't know. It depends on how you feel about Sherlock.
Yeah, I don't really have a clever way to segue into this one.
That was my whole segue.
Yeah, well, it's not so great news in terms of the fact that it reminds everyone that Carrie Fisher has passed away. But R.I.P. In my measured opinion, it's good news.
That's true.
Like, in a net sense. So Lucasfilm, I guess, they all sat down at a meeting last week and talked about what they're going to do going forward with the Leia character, because they haven't started filming episode 9 yet. I don't even know if it's written. So,
But they filmed 8?
Yeah, 8's done.
Oh, wow.
So, and apparently Leia had a much larger role in this movie. in episode 8, so they had to kind of sit down and figure out what they were going, like, to do with that role in the movie, and they were, and a lot of, because Rogue One had just come out, and Rogue One has the, like, the recreation of both, like, young Leia and Peter Cushing as Moff Tarkin in it, through CGI, people were like, oh man, they better not, like, because I mean, like, it's something that both, you don't necessarily want to create a precedent for it, like, of, like, a state selling the licenses to their, like, dead relatives' likeness.
Yeah, it's kind of not so great.
Yeah, and, like, for Peter Cushing, like, he had a relatively small role in the movie, and he's been dead for 20 years. So, to have him, his face, like, recreated there for a brief, like, glimpse, really, was not so, like, grim.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's, like, a different, different context. Like, to have the wound of Carrie being not with us anymore, being so fresh, and then having either, like, some other actress playing that role, or having, like, a different actress playing that role, and having Carrie's face, like, zapped onto her face, the way they did in the Rogue One movie, is kind of really
kind of
gross.
Disrespectful.
Yeah, it's disrespectful. So...
Yeah, there hasn't been enough distance to go to, like, hologram mode, like, with Tupac.
Yeah, like, it's...
Which is also, like, kind of weird, but...
Yeah.
Less flagrantly... Time has to pass before you can do it as a tribute.
Yeah, you have to be able to heal about the fact that the person is gone before you can just start, like, recreating them and pretending like they're not, if that makes sense. And thankfully, one of the... They I think, must have realized that this scuttlebutt was going to come around... on the heels of the Rogue One movie still being out, and they've released a statement that says, we're not going to digitally recreate Carrie Fisher in this movie or in other movies.
That's pretty cool.
So,
you can always, they're a creative team. They can find ways to both honor her legacy and either maintain the character or not. Like, there's ways to,
yeah,
whatever they need to do. Like, it's more important to honor somebody than to try to, like, make your story a certain thing, but they could still make it work. I have faith in.
Yeah, and I think also, like, one of the things that people point out is there's parts of Leia's story that could be told that don't have to include Carrie Fisher. Like, if you wanted to have, like Millie Bobby Brown, who was in Stranger Things, like, has been, like, I don't know if she said that she'd like to play, like a young teenage Leia in a prequel, or whether that's just something that people have been throwing around because she could pull it off looks-wise.
Okay, like, we have this weird situation where, I just realized it, we're having a movie with young Han Solo, but, like, Harrison Ford was young Han Solo.
Yeah.
So there's going to be two people that played him around the same age, like, and Donald Glover's going to be Lando, despite the fact that Lando would have been around the same time as young Han. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like, unless they're, like...
I'm kind of hyped now.
So it's,
Yeah, screw it. Get Natalie Portman to play young Leia. It would make sense that young Leia would look kind of like Padme.
Yeah, it's like you ever see the tweet of that Carrie Fisher, someone was like, who would play your mom in a Galaxy Far, Far Away? And she was like, Natalie Portman.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, on that sad note, let's take a quick break. We'll kind of shuffle this, our format around a little bit, just because the way our timer looks, I don't know how long we've been talking, and I feel like we've been talking for a while. So, listeners, please enjoy some music.
We'll be back.
Again, I don't know what it is this time, so when we come back,
alert.
I still won't know. So we'll see you in a little bit.
listeners, I hope you enjoy that surprise music that Dom hasn't picked yet. As always, as we said before, show notes will let you know who that is and what they're doing. And we actually didn't get to all of our news in the last section, so we'll knock those out of the way, and then we will tell you what the kind of stuff we got this week, because it's kind of slim pickings.
Yes, very slim. Very slim. Slim shady.
So,
Yeah, what's this name? This... Yeah, we're coming back ridiculous.
Yeah, this sentence just... When I saw it, I was so confused, and I have my wonderments about why, and... So here's six words that I'll first let sink in for you before I jump off the deep end about it. Will Smith in Tim Burton's Dumbo. And so first of all, why remake Dumbo? It's a kind of scary and racist Disney movie from the dark past of Disney that doesn't really need remaking. 2, why Tim Burton? I guess if you're gonna make a spooky Disney movie, then Tim Burton's your dude, but I just don't, if you...
Who asked for this?
Yeah, who asked for this?
And did, wait, okay, so first off, I'm looking at this. There's no, combination of words that make sense in this. Will Smith and Dumbo? No. Tim Burton's Dumbo? No. Will Smith and Tim Burton's anything? Also no. Didn't Tim Burton just say he doesn't have black people in his movies?
Yeah, so that's honestly was, starting point number one for me. I was wait, but Tim Burton doesn't think black people are part of his aesthetic. will this movie be animated so it's okay? Is that the thing? But no, it says Dumbo live action adaptation if you Google it. Will Smith in talks with Disney for lead role.
As what?
As Dumbo, presumably, which is the most ridiculous thing because Will Smith as a voice actor is pretty limited in range. It's not like someone you're thinking of playing a young frightened
you hire
elephant.
Will Smith. You hire Will Smith because you want Will Smith in your movie.
Yeah.
Just same as, when you hire Chris Rock to voice act, you want him to be, you want him to sound like Chris Rock.
Yeah,
you
wanted a character who sounds and acts like Chris Rock in your movie, so you cast Chris Rock,
You didn't get Phil Lamar, or Mark Hamill, or Tara Strong, or Cree Summer. You get a celebrity because you want to sound like the celebrity.
Yeah, you didn't get someone with voice acting range. And, even just, the pitch of his voice, is a lot deeper than one imagines for a child elephant, but...
Are they gonna pitch it? Are they just gonna pitch it up?
Oh my god, can you imagine if they just auto-tuned Will Smith's voice?
That's what they're gonna do. You know that's what they're gonna do, is just put a filter on, the Chipmunks movie.
Oh god. So, yeah, so imagine, dear listeners, an auto-tuned Will Smith playing Dumbo in an unwanted remake that... what? How much do you have to take out of Dumbo to make it acceptable to a modern audience?
Go ahead.
There's the Jim Crow crows and Dumbo. The pink elephant scene happens because Dumbo gets drunk on the liquor of the black workers who are setting up the circus tent. And they're 1950s cartoon black people, all you see is their hands and the white hand side of their skin.
Wait, so it's people in blackface?
It's like the mammy character in Tom and Jerry. You only see them from the shoulders down, and you see the difference of their hands.
Up.
Yeah,
Okay. Well, I feel like Tim Burton saw the pink elephant scene. Is like, okay, I want to make that. Now let's try to figure out how to make the rest of this play. if they wanted to take the risk, this could be a good social commentary. They're not going to do that, but that would be great. Because who's going to boycott a Dumbo movie? You know how ridiculous you'd look if you want to be like, damn, SJWs ruin everything, I'm going to boycott Dumbo. It's like, so you were planning on seeing Dumbo? Well, no. Then your boycott is pointless because you weren't going to see Dumbo.
Yeah, if you weren't going to do it in the first place, then it's not a boycott.
It's just a show of solidarity of something stupid. What's the plot of Dumbo, anyway?
The plot of Dumbo is that Dumbo is taken away from his mother by the circus and, like, sold to a different circus because he has giant ears and it's, like, comical, but he learns to fly with his giant ears, and so he's able to capitalize on his weirdness. It's kind of a Rudolph story where, like, you're a freak until you can make it work for you, and then capitalism rewards you for your freakishness.
Except capitalism was already there, like, yo, you're already weird, let's give you some money, but you're not gonna get the money.
Yeah, and eventually at the end of the movie, he is reunited with his mother, because he becomes, like, a star elephant and was able to find her again or something. But it's also, if I remember correctly, I think it's the movie with Jiminy Cricket. Jiminy Cricket, I think, is the one who teaches him how to fly.
Yeah, the same Jiminy Cricket from Pinocchio?
Or no, just kidding. What's it? There is a small bug companion in Dumbo, and I haven't seen it since I was a child.
Like, I'm not 100% sure that it's not Jiminy Cricket. Like,
maybe it's a tiny mouse. I'm not sure. Anyway, yeah, search for me for a second there. But
it is a little mouse. It's a little mouse, like in a,
in like a marching band Timothy uniform.
Yeah.
Okay.
Timothy.
So
that's what the internet says.
So the internet says Timothy. So, yeah,
Timothy,
I haven't
Timothy Cricket.
Timothy Cricket. I haven't seen Dumbo since I was a very young child because my mom thought it was a really sweet movie because of the, she would always cry that, like, the mom elephant, like, sings Dumbo to sleep at the beginning, and, like, the lullaby, like, always made her cry. But me and my brother, and especially my brother as children, were terrified of the pink elephant sequence, like could not be in the room when it was playing. And so Dumbo was one of those movies that kind of ended up in the Goodwill box earlier rather than later when it came time to send the VHSs off to their inevitable doom.
Well, kids always get freaked out by weird stuff. I mean I know the stuff that freaked me out when I was a kid that didn't make any sense. Like the bosses from Dynamite Heady, for example. It's a video game reference that like five people are going to get, but go search the Nutcracker boss from Dynamite Heady. It's a giant dog, and it's creepy as hell. And it's terrified me as a five-year-old. I'm still unsettled by it. Well, you know, I look forward to the Tim Burton's Fresh Prince of Elephant Air when that comes out. Yeah. But speaking of other weird-ass shit, what's this last thing? What the hell is this?
Yeah, this last thing is another thing that I'm just like, even as a dedicated fan of this series, baffled by. So they're making a Percy Jackson musical?
Sure.
And it's one of those things, I mean, any kind of musical adaptation of something that's a serial, ongoing story in another, whether or not that story's finished in another medium, like, just the existence of it is strange to me, because, like,
it has to be humorous. Like, there's no way to play that straight.
Yeah, like, it's, and, like, I listened to the song from it. There's, like, a song, one of the songs from, like, the beginning of it. And, I mean, like, it's not a bad song. It's not, like, a song that I remember the tune to now an hour and a half after listening to it. It's kind of a trite message about, like, Percy being, like, wanting to be, like, considering himself a good kid, but the facts not adding up to that, like, because, like, in the beginning of the first Percy Jackson book, he's been in six schools in 6 years, and it's not because he's a bad kid, it's because he doesn't know that he's a Greek demigod, and, like, weird shit keeps happening around him, and so he gets kicked out of school, and also he's dyslexic because his eyes are trained to read ancient Greek, but not English or something. I always thought that was a kind of weird thing going through that, but
that's weird because I'm pretty sure being able to read English, I can still, like, perceive ancient Greek letters. I've done it pretty frequently.
I don't know. I'm not quite sure that was the best thought out part of all of Rick Riordan's world building, but
he could have just been dyslexic. Like,
yeah,
there,
like,
didn't need to be like a
magical a reason for reason. It.
Like, it's something that occurs in people. It's fine.
Yeah, so it's very strange to me because it's not like once they're done making, it's not, a musical is a form of media that is distinctly antithetical to sequels. Like, because of the way that theater works and the, like, not only, like, the price of tickets, but, like, the, just the act of going to it is, like, more of a thing than, like, reading a book or something. Like, people don't make sequels to movie or to musicals. Unless you're Andrew Lloyd Webber and decide to make a terrible sequel to Phantom of the Opera because you've decided to make a bad decision.
Ghost of the Musical. Is that what it was called? I wish it was called that.
No, it's called Love Never Dies, and it was... Get Austin started on it sometime.
Heroes never die.
But it's something that's very... It's very hard to make... Because you have to assume that the same audience who saw the first musical will come back to see the second musical. And it's not like a movie where everyone in the country can go see the movie. You have to be in the same town as the musical to all go see the musical.
Yeah, we should find a better way to, like, proliferate musicals.
I'm not saying that they need to make some kind of streaming service, but they need to make some kind of subscription streaming service.
Or even just make make it so people can buy the DVDs or Blu-rays, like, reasonably soon, because, like...
Don't just film the last show whenever you're going off-Broadway.
Yeah, because how many people would buy a Hamilton Blu-ray for legit, I don't know, if it was just a performance for $60 today? I'm sure a ton of people.
Yeah.
And it would still be cheaper than Broadway, and it would be a lot less expensive than putting on a Broadway production.
So, yeah, so it's not so much the topic that confuses me, because although it does kind of confuse me when musicals try to take something that's, like, geeky from a different medium and make it into a musical. Like, it seems like you're trying to get too much crossover audience, like the Spider-Man musical that had so much weird technical stuff that, like, the guy who was originally Spider-Man, like, broke his spine or something, like, one of the, like,
Yeah, I found that odd they couldn't figure that out. It seemed not easy, but, like, easier than they were making it. Like, I feel like they were trying to do it the hard way.
Yeah, like, all the tech stuff is just so complicated, and, like, I feel like, and as someone who likes Spider-Man and likes musicals, I feel like the Venn diagram of people who all fall into that, like, the middle section of those two circles is not a sustainable audience for your musical.
I think that's what they were trying to do, was expand that Venn diagram. They were, like, hoping that if you liked Spider-Man, you would come see this musical, rather than you already like musicals. I think they were trying to bump Broadway up, rather than try to capitalize on its crossover appeal.
Yes, but, like, this one, like...
Didn't work.
I don't think it's gonna work, and I'm sorry, because I like Percy Jackson a lot. It's, like, my favorite ongoing series right now. Like, anything that Rick Riordan writes, I will pick up and read. But... I don't think the Percy Jackson musical is going to be
successful.
Yeah, hot shit.
I'm sure it'll probably be alright. It just won't be successful, I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be alright. But it's the same thing with the... And they could have been a good movie if they hadn't, like, Last Airbendered the movie, like...
I want to see?
What?
The SpongeBob musical.
I actually would love to see the SpongeBob, like, musical if we're being real.
It's a real thing, listeners. Like, I'm not making this up. Like, there's a real SpongeBob musical that I think is in previews right now.
Yeah, I think so.
I would totally go see. I'm not even joking a little bit.
I would see that in a second.
And I don't even care if it was good. In fact, I hope it's either amazing or, like, hilariously bad, but I don't want to be mediocre.
Yeah.
And I want to be awesome, but the music should be cool, but...
Yeah, but I think that's going to be really good. I don't think the Percy Jackson musical is going to be good.
That probably is going to be a masterpiece.
It's going to win a Tony next year. Can you imagine? 2016 Tony goes to Hamilton. The 2017 Tony for Best Musical goes to the SpongeBob musical.
I mean, maybe
it'll be great.
2017 is already shaping up to be, like, the weird cousin to, like, the black sheep that was 2016.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. It's not nerdy, but we started out 2017 with Pissgate, the Golden Gate.
The Golden Gate.
That was, like, The whole P thing with Donald Trump that I think ultimately turned out to be fake, it doesn't matter. That happened this year. Whether you love Trump, hate Trump,
You
don't
love
care about
Trump? Why are you
politics,
listening to our
yeah, you
podcast?
probably really hate us and like our content, but no matter how you feel about that, man, you have to admit that. And people, that's so weird. People are like, guys, there's, don't get distracted from the real things in this, leak. And I'm like, bro, because it's always like, I don't
We
care your
can.
gender. You're being a fucking bro if you want to be like, look, there's like real things to look at. And it's like, yes, and the country is terrified right now. So let us get these piss jokes out. And come 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, we will call our representatives and get on this. But for now, this is hilarious. Now cue up the R. Kelly memes because this is fantastic. Oh, he wasn't doing it out of like his fetish. He was doing it to disrespect the Obamas. Again, we will get on this tomorrow. We already know he hates the Obamas. But for tonight, we're about to make these jokes. Like, oh, we shouldn't kink shame people. We are only kink shaming the president, and I don't care what his fetish is. We will kink shame the president-elect because he's a terrible man. No
Yes.
one ever kink shamed Obama. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
No one even kink shamed Bush. Bill Clinton, we shamed his habits, but no one shamed his kinks. This is all I'm saying. This is a presidential first. So congratulations, Mr. Trump. You have made
You've made
more
history.
scandals. You're
You're
wow. There
already
it is.
making history.
Pistory.
On that bright note.
What's the cool shit you got this week? We went from urological humor to scatological humor. What's the cool shit you got this week?
Well, I got a cool book. I don't know whether it's cool or not, but I expect it to be because it's the second book in a series, and I really like the first book in the series.
That logic plays.
I think it's called the Broken Earth trilogy. I'm not sure if that's the trilogy name, but the first book was the fifth season. The second book is The Obelisk Gate. It's by N.K. Jemisin. The first book won the Hugo Award last year for best novel. It's fantastic, ridiculous, like fascinating world building, really like amazing character building. It was a great win for the Hugo, not only because it was an excellent book, but because it was a very diverse book, like a fantasy novel written by a black woman starring like a variety of characters of different of like there's a transgender character, there are queer characters, like the main character is a woman, a black woman. So it's great on all aspects. But one of the coolest parts of this book has nothing to do with the book itself, but with the way it got to me, and that is the miracle of same day shipping.
That is super dope. That's a cool thing.
It's like, if there's one way to say like I live in the future, I didn't do it on purpose. I paid no money for it because somehow I guess Barnes and Noble was like, "Hey, we noticed that you live in Manhattan, and we do same day shipping in Manhattan, and you already get free shipping with your Barnes and Noble card, so let's give you same day shipping. It'd be cool." And I was like, "Okay, that sounds awesome. I'm not going to be able to read this book for like 6 months based on how many other things I own to read, but it'd be cool to have it here right away." So,
That's fair. That's
yeah.
your that's your gauge for the future, not the cars driving themselves around.
Like it was instant gratification. It's a kind of futuristic instant gratification, especially because like I was thinking about it, like I didn't order that book until like 11:30 or 12.
Right.
And they were like, "Yeah, we'll have it to you." And
Wait,
I
like
was
AM, PM, 11, 12, or like
like
nighttime?
AM 11:12. So
Okay.
like your business day and like your shipping window is already only like 5 hours to like maybe 6 or 7 hours if you have like later after like evening shipping.
Don't worry, we'll get it to
And I was like,
you.
"Oh, okay. I think I believe you." But and then I had gotten home, I took a nap and I went out to grab some stuff, and when I came back at like 8:30, it still wasn't there. And I was like, "Okay, I see how this is. Sometimes it just doesn't work." Like,
Like 24 hours, same
yeah,
day.
it's like same day, it would be any time before tomorrow, I guess. And then at 11, I was like, "Okay, though, I'm gonna check the tracking info because I hope maybe they did. Like, I hope they didn't like leave it in a weird place, or like they couldn't get into my apartment complex, or like I don't know." And
It's
so I checked the
nonsense.
shipping, like the tracking info, and it said left at door, and I was like, but I was just at the door, and I haven't heard. I've been awake since I got home, and I have not heard anyone at the door. And I opened the door, just like, prove me wrong, universe. Like I opened the door, and there it was sitting there, and I was like,
Barnes and Noble has stealth stat high.
I was like, the fuck happened here?
Magic, apparently.
Magic happened, and now I have a book that I got in less than 12 hours from all the way from beautiful, scenic New Jersey to my apartment in Manhattan.
Totally a feasible distance.
Yeah, it's just, like, the thing is, like, was my book the only book on that truck? Like, did they just throw it into, like, cause I know that from working at Barnes & Noble that we have had a warehouse in New Jersey, like, that was one of the main East Coast distributors. So, like...
They definitely used a drone. That's what happened.
That's what happened. That's why it took so long, because the drone had to, like, fly up over the top of the building, because it couldn't get through the gate.
Well, yeah, it had to fly over the building, then it had to ask Obama and Trump if it could do it, and then it dropped off. That's how these things work. That's literally how government works. That's an actual fact.
There you go. you just learned something, listeners.
You learned something. No need to get an MBA or a PhD or an MD. You learn everything on the internet.
Yep.
That's not true. Yeah. I didn't get anything really this week. I got some groceries today. I got hype from watching part of the Steelers game and waking up for it. So Steelers won. Woo! And then some stuff that's not appropriate for the podcast. Sorry, listeners.
You didn't even have to bring it up, but now they're just going to wonder. Nope.
I want to be that guy.
All right. Well, yeah, the only other thing I got this week was a cold. I'm like, dose to my gills on NyQuil, or not NyQuil, I'd be asleep if I was on NyQuil. DayQuil, right now. So
the things I got were drastically better than the last thing that you got, so what a world we live in. The listeners know my tastes and my preferences, Steph. go ahead and guess, listeners. You're probably right. It's probably close. And if it's not right, it's probably something I want anyway. I'm a simple
man. Okay, I've got a thing. I don't think this was knowledge by the last time we recorded that we both got.
Yes, I was about to bring that up because it's on my desk.
What's on your desk?
A bunch of dice.
Oh, okay. No, that's not what I was going to say.
Oh, well, I got D&D dice. They're black and gold.
Oh, cool. Nice. Numbers.
Yeah, that's cool. What I did get. I forgot.
Yeah, friends, we are going to make the jump into the Dungeons & Dragons role-playing world. Soon.
Yes,
so.
It'll be my first, like, full campaign. I briefly dipped my toes in once.
I'll have to tell you all about it once it's happened.
Yeah, but what were you going to say?
I was going to say, but I think the last time we recorded, Universal FanCon had been fully funded.
Yes.
But it wasn't closed yet. And we discussed, as a last-minute perk for people, original backers of the con, they have decided to give out lifetime attendance, like lifetime attendance included in your backing, like regardless of what amount you backed at. So
yeah, and that was public too, so we're not like breaking an NDA or anything like that.
Yeah, it's not a secret.
Super cool. Very, very nice.
Very excited to be able to attend this con for as long as it continues.
Yes, which I hope is a long time, because it seems really cool.
Yeah, it's a cool idea, and also it's also cool to be just to have lifetime admission to something.
Yeah, I feel like a part of a club.
Yeah.
A welcoming club, but yes, that is something we got.
So that's
looking
a cool
forward
geeky
to...
thing we got that's...
That's actually very geeky, yeah. It's very
it's about
geeky
as geeky
very
as
cool.
You can get, so...
Yeah. So we'll have more details when that's there's more solid details.
Yeah, when there's
about
more
that.
Details to tell, we will make you aware of them.
Yes, we will. And here's some other details for you. It's social media stuff, because we're at that time. So you're listening to this podcast, and you're loving it, and you want to get more updates from it. You want to go to Twitter, and you go, and you put in character rev. That's character, then R-E-V, two R's in the middle. You can follow this podcast there, get updates on when we have new episodes, all that kind of thing, if you're not following it anywhere else. You can find us on Facebook. We, you know, just search Character Reveal. You'll see the logo. Maybe you want to subscribe to this podcast directly. Google Play Podcasts. We got you. Stitcher, we got you. iTunes, we got you. And the logo finally popped up, so it's good. Leave a review, leave a rating that helps us out, makes us climb. People will love you for it, and we'll love you for it, and you love us. It's great. You can find me anywhere on the internet. That's Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, even Twitch, at Brother Dom. That's B-R-O-T-H-A-D-O-M, not brother, or you won't find me. You can find Steph on Twitter, at Captain Steph. And Tumblr at The Snow Queer. That's fantastic. We're just great names. It's fantastic. You can find us on the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. We write about like nerdy stuff on an intersectional feminist scope. Talk about lots of different subjects, and that's ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. And I believe that is everything, right?
I think so.
Cool, trying to get faster on that. Anything else before we let the people go?
I think that's everything this week. Thanks for listening to our kind of flop together geekly reveal.
Yes, it's been a long one, but we hope you all enjoyed it. We're starting to get like more viewership, so that's great. Please tell your friends and all that, and we're trying to get better, we're trying to grow, and the more people that listen to us and give us constructive criticism, the better we can get. So the people that have been sticking around, we appreciate you, all the new listeners. Thanks for stopping in, we hope you love it. Until next time, see you later.
Bye.